Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies. Ladies and gentlemen, let's get ready to rumble!
Ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to Anything But Ordinary Radio on Blog Talk Radio tonight, and Michael McCleary may regret from giving me the controls because, you know, since it's different and they're all out in Los Angeles in nice sunny weather, I decided that we're going to do something a little bit different. So we open it up that way. I've got to mute him for right now, but I'm going to be bringing on air your host, your co-host, the guest, everybody else, Michael McCleary, Maria DiGiovanni, and Jed Ray. Good evening, everybody.
Hey there. How's everyone doing tonight? Harry, thanks so much for helping us out tonight.
My pleasure. Thanks. I'm honored and blessed to do it for you.
Well, we are coming live from Newport Beach, California. And my first trip out to California, well, actually, it's just my second trip, my first trip near the ocean, really excited to be in my wonderful, beautiful, amazing co-host hometown of Newport Beach, Miss Maria DiGiovanni. Maria.
Well, welcome, Michael, to my home. It's really, really super honor to have you here, and it's even weirder to be able to look into your eyes when I talk to you. Again, as always, and now I can look at you so you really know. Thank you so much for giving me this opportunity to be able to do this with you because it totally gives us a platform that we can build upon. So thank you. Thank you for coming to Newport Beach and spending this time with me and Jed, for getting me out of the house and doing fun things and seeing my wonderful Queen Mary today. But thank you. Thank you for everything.
Well, you're always welcome. And in fact, you mentioned our other co-host is with us tonight from Eugene, Oregon, Mr. Jed Ray. Jed, how are you doing tonight?
Yeah, I'm doing just awesome. Thanks, man. I had a great day.
Just so everybody knows, Jed's probably been up for almost 24 hours straight, so if he is a little goofy tonight, that may be why.
Nah, you're not goofy. Hey, awesome day, and I'm very glad to be here. Thank you, Maria and Michael, for sharing your lives with me. It's been a special journey, and I'm truly blessed. Now it's all come to full light to sit in the presence of both of you. It's awesome stuff.
It is very awesome. Harry, were you going to chime in to say something?
Basically I was saying you mean goofier, right?
Goofier. Yeah, a little goofier. And then also, just so everybody knows, our amazing producer, Harry Shea, who is is coming from cold and rainy middle Ohio. We're 47. Thanks for joining us, Harry.
No problem. That's because Michael was too cheap to fly me to L.A., but okay, that's all right.
But I'm bummed.
Shot number one.
Tonight we're going to be talking about, are we going to talk about reinvention? Or
no. Redefining normal.
No, I'm saying we're going to talk reinvention.
Redefining.
Reinvention.
Whatever. But first, let's talk about where we are and who is hosting us tonight. Yeah, I'll mud on the meeting.
I wanted to introduce the subject first.
Oh, do you want to? Go ahead.
No, that's what I just did. So now I was going to say...
Yes, it's redefining normal.
Hey, Harry, they got their boxing gloves on. You ought to see this. It's awesome.
Okay. So I want to introduce our wonderful host. Thank you so much for being here, Mr. Dan Marciano.
Not a problem.
We are coming live from the Arches in Newport Beach. So
the Arches Restaurant, established 1922, and as you all know, I'm also a parole officer, so I'm very comfortable dealing with these four. It reminds me when I was a busboy at the Last Supper. We don't have any fun here in Newport Beach. You either like us or we shoot you.
That's right. There you go. We've got the armor here.
We take the word conservative very seriously.
Also, we have another beautiful woman from the West Coast or East Coast here.
Oh, shit. This one or the other.
Go on, Shale.
Go on. Go
Welcome
ahead.
To our world. Hi, how are you?
I'm wonderful. What the hell are you talking to?
I think we can tell we're having a little fun all together tonight.
Hang on a second. We need more tequila.
It's exciting to have Don here because Don's normally pretty involved in our chat room, talking back and forth. So it's nice to have you live on the air versus just live typing.
I miss it. I miss the chat room. I have fun with all those guys in there. Those who are chatting, hello, Brenda.
Daniel.
Hi, Daniel. That's right, huh? Not under.
This little thing is going to take it over to Australia?
Yeah, we have listeners in Australia and Greece and all over the U.S.
Really?
Yeah.
Because that little thing and my little thing wouldn't make it to Australia.
No.
But anyway.
What an awkward marriage.
Here goes my restaurant. mud on them here.
So, Dan, tell us a little bit about your restaurant. One of the things that I think is really really amazing about it is when you walk in the entrance, there is this amazing wall. Can you tell us a little bit about that wall?
The Arches Restaurant and myself, being a Marine, we do a lot of work with the United States Marine Corps. We have been doing that for about 20-ish plus years. And we make sure the Marines, especially, I'm not a friend of the officers.
You're a Marine.
As I was a PFC 3 times in 4 years. And was,
wait, what's a PFC?
That's about as low as you can go.
Oh, right,
you could,
at first class.
Yeah, you could, a freaking worm could crawl over you. You understand? So I had.
You noticed he said 4 times.
Yes.
No, if I had one more, if I was in 2 more months, a gunnery sergeant said, you can make it 4 out of 4.
Yeah.
I said, you know what, I'd like to leave. I'm not looking for to be a record breaker. Push all of that aside, but I had a great time. And I was discharged, honorably, by the way, right before Vietnam and out of Quantico, Virginia. And that being said, it took me a while. I don't know how to put this. They helped me grow up.
Mm-hmm.
I don't still know if I grew up, but it was a great experience.
Mm-hmm.
And so in about 1989-90, I started to do a lot of work with the Marines and the families, and I put together a lot of programs that the Marines were well taken care of, and I find that to be very important, and especially the families. They don't get paid enough.
Mm-hmm.
And you got a woman out there with, what, 2, 3, 4 kids? There's no money in the house. They live from paycheck to paycheck. At one of my restaurants that I had, you had Marines that had 6, 7, and 8 children. And the husband was overseas. And they were low ranking.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it just doesn't make, to me, I'm not going to tell a woman or a male and a female to stop it. But you really feel like grabbing somebody and say, stop it. That's it.
No more.
No more. Get it chopped off. I don't know what the hell you do. I would tell them to chop it off, and if they had an argument, I'd chop the damn thing off. I don't get it, and it's none of my damn business. And you know, it just drives me. And they don't, when they get their check, it's just nothing there.
Right.
So now, what the hell do they do? Go to the McDonald's.
I'm in the moment.
They go to a McDonald's.
Yeah.
The women have arms on them bigger than my waist, which, by the way, is big. On a personal level, it drives me nuts.
Yeah.
And they all eat a McDonald's or a Bob's Big Boy.
They can't afford anything else.
They can't. The kids go, well, let's go to McDonald's. Well, then the woman is eating that. So push all of that aside. They always need what? Clothing. We do clothing drives. I have sent down there over 170 TV sets because why? People are changing out of the regular TVs into the flat screen.
Mm-hmm.
We just do what we can do. That's it.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, for all of our listeners, if you would like to chime in and ask a question of any of us tonight or add something to it, please feel free to call us at 347-857-3760. That's 347-857-3760, and Harry will make sure that he gets you in on the conversation. And also, too, in the chat room, feel free to drop in the chat room and ask us a question or chat out there. Unfortunately, the five of us here can't really see what's going on in the chat room, so Harry will share from time to time what is going on.
Don and I are chatting.
But if you are logging as a guest,
virtual chat,
please sign up for a free Blog Talk Radio account if you'd like to ask a question. Otherwise, you'll just be able to observe what's going on. And Harry, do we have any action going on the chat room at the moment?
Well, actually, yeah. One person in there said, Michael, I saw your photo in Maria's. So happy the two of you finally met. Lovely photo. And if you guys really want to know what's going on with that photo and you're on Facebook, go check it out because I had a few comments about the photo that I will not share on air. But
which photo are you talking about?
That's really about it. We got Laura and Brennan there. We're having a nice conversation.
Harry, you're speechless. I'm impressed. I would prefer not to hear any comments from some gal or woman or guy that has 9 kids. That could get very sensitive.
So since we're talking about redefining yourself, reinvention, right?
Redefining, yes. Thank you. I win.
When does it become a game of win or lose, Jez?
When you guys put on the boxing gloves.
Yeah, you said.
All right, redefining, reinvention. Whichever way we'd like to go with the word. Dan, tell us about.
I'm going to mix it up a little bit more. I mean, not just rewriting. Oops. That wasn't a very good look. Okay, so I've got to put your gloves on.
And I had a question for Dan, and you totally jumped in there.
Yeah.
Don't worry about me.
No.
I know what you
did. I'm the Ed McMahon of the three of them, you know. See, I just.
What is your question, son?
Well, since we're talking about redefining, you went from being a Marine to owning a very successful restaurant. What brought you from that place of growing up to become a man through the Marines to owning this amazing establishment?
Well, I've always been in the cooking industry. My father had Dinah and Dinah's in Lower Jersey City. After the Marine Corps, I tried other avenues, and it was always back to the restaurant industry. It was where I was my comfort zone. That's what I did. That's mm-hmm. what I know. Mm-hmm. I know how to talk to people. Not in a perfect, you know, English could be considered my second language, but that's okay.
Jersey is his first language. Sorry.
Yeah. How the freak are you today? You want what? You want to sit down and eat? What do I look like? A freaking table to you? So anyway.
I love it.
You were checking the whole Jersey in California.
The reason it was so easy to be semi or successful out here in California was, and I'm not being facetious, is that most of it, shut up.
You don't know we're filming.
Oh, God. Most of the guys my age when I got out here in 65-ish, they were surfers, and they didn't have the the Jersey attitude to work.
No.
You know, I would think working 20 hours a day, I'm concerned about the other 4 hours,
mm-hmm.
what was going on, that I wasn't doing something. And most of the guys I met out here, they said, you know, and gals, they said, oh, we worked 7 hours today. We're tired. And I look at them like, you know, like I'm getting a migraine. So, bingo, I hustled, and I just worked. And I built a nice little egg nest.
Mm-hmm.
And I watched other people go off to their surfboards, wherever the hell they went.
Don, I saw you nodding your head because Don is also originally from New Jersey as well. So what you were nodding your head. What brought you to kind of say that?
It's just about the attitude, about the New Jersey East Coast attitude, that they just seem to be all more driven, focused. They just have a different energy and a passion than they do here. I mean, especially, I haven't been all around California, but in Orange County in particular, it's like a permanent vacation. You know, it's just there's sort of a different mindset as to just everything in general. So when he's talking about when he first came out here and they didn't have a Jersey work ethic, I can definitely relate to
that. Out here in California.
Your accent coming back. Just sitting there.
Yeah, just a little.
If I get around it, it'll start to.
Out here in California, if it drizzled, you stay home.
Yeah.
In Jersey,
yeah.
If there was a blizzard,
oh.
You went to freaking work.
Absolutely.
And if your car didn't start, you walked the 2.5 to 5 miles. In the blizzard. Otherwise, if you went back home, your mother would kick the believing bejesus out of you. Never mind your father.
That's very true. What I was raised about? Here in California, I'd call
yeah,
them
I, you know what? Can I tell you something? I know it. You're a weakling.
Oh. Hey. My father's from Rhode Island.
Oh,
okay.
Boy, did you look out the door? It's green out there.
Did I if I have no,
three,
I have
in 3 days, there'll be almost a half inch.
It won't be away. It's true. I don't know how you people drive in snow or live in snow. Or that's just insane.
Snow's fun.
That's great.
Yeah. But you walked in it. That's all.
You walked in the snow 20 miles with no shoes.
Oh, no shoes? No, no socks.
Oh, God.
It's all the whole way. I learned how to ski. I was walking up a hill with no shoes, and I saw it fall backwards. And I said, I'm skiing.
That's how we learned.
Hey, Harry, how are you doing there in Ohio? Is it feeling like you might need some snow?
No, actually, no. We don't need any snow. It's funny, but I just heard somebody say uphills both ways, but Brenda in the chat room said the same way, uphills both ways. It's hilarious.
Hey, Harry, mention my name in Sandusky. They like me there. I was in jail.
All right.
Oh, there's a long story going about
that. No. Well, there are no more records. No, I had an uncle in a neighborhood. They hit a little tee shot. Bingo, bango, it's done.
It's a proud.
Oh.
Take care of that for you. Right.
Yeah. Next thing you're going to tell me that there's something called the Mafia, which was a figment of the FBI.
Uh-huh.
That it was all in their brains.
Sure.
Or their sort of brains, because they could get extra revenue. There was no Mafia. Is no Mafia. Never will be a Mafia. Uncle Carlos, are you listening?
I was going to say, I'm listening.
Uncle Carlos. I'm not giving you my freaking address either. And if you're not dead, I hope you are.
Maria, I think we've brought a natural onto the show.
I'm telling you.
Yeah.
All good.
Hey, Maria has all the hookups in Southern California.
Maria's a hooker? I didn't hear what you said, sir.
No, hookup.
Hookup.
Oh. Jesus out of me.
Dan, you're supposed to keep that a secret.
There goes my rep. Okay. My rep is going down the toilet.
Oh, my goodness.
So, Ted.
Finally.
Oh.
How are you? Michael. I'm doing awesome, buddy.
I'm going to tell you, it's one of the top days of my career, which is going down the tubes. They've called call me Danny the Flush.
And he's not a car, is he?
What was that, Harry?
And I said, you call him Danny the Flush, but he's not talking about cards, is he?
No. No. So, Maria.
Yeah.
That'd be you.
Michael.
We're talking about reinvention.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, everyone!
No, I gave it to you.
Oh,
it was a gimme.
It was a gift? You gave me a gift? Gee, can everybody tell that we're a little bit different when we're across the table from each other versus on the phone?
Oh.
Conversation on the phone.
I feel like I went to purgatory.
Well, the show takes place normally with Michael in Michigan, her here, and me up in Eugene.
Yeah.
So it's a rarity when we're all together. And
yeah. Eugene, what? You're out of the
Oregon.
Country?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, Oregon. That too. Yeah. I'm out of the country in Eugene. That's true.
You talk it, but Maria, talk it about reinvention, because you know you've had to do that many, many times yourself.
I think you get to a place where you redefine normal almost all the time. Once you get to a place where I think you're stuck in growth, there's a reason why you prune your rose bushes in the winter. And I think that is nature's way of helping us redefine. So if everybody once a year just stopped and took their shears and just really looked at their life and how their roses are blooming, and if they are blooming well, then great, do what you got to do. But there is a time where you have to redefine and to be able to grow even more. And so I think every year people have to really look at their life, assess where they are, and redefine that normal by taking and pruning. So I think it's something you have to do all the time, Michael.
What do you think? What comes to your mind? Because you've done that. You went from New Jersey to out here in Southern California. And you
driving all alone.
Yeah.
Big deal.
All the way here. And then now you may be going somewhere else. You're not sure exactly what you're going to do. How has that process affected you?
Well, I think a lot of this is, as Maria's saying, is about the journey, and it's not necessarily a geographic location. So, you know, even if the trip out here and being here 9 months, it's been a lot of an inner journey rather than, you know, a lot of outward things going on, but it's something I definitely needed, you know, to enhance and improve my life and become the best version of myself. I mean, I'm the best version of myself that I've ever been. You know, I've pursued a lot of different things, and I'm still, you know, waiting to see what I really want to go and to dig my heels in. But I know I'm not the person I was when I left New Jersey. I'm definitely not. So I'm still in process. It's still a process, but it's good. It's definitely good. I could see the fruit. I could see evidence of that move, of that decision. And I think that's the most important thing is, you know, there are those that want growth and those that they're just living life. They're working their 9-to-5 jobs. They're living according to a script that society said. You go to school, you graduate college, you get a, you know, you get an education, you go get a job, and you keep married, have kids. And, you know, who made that? There's no law. There's no you know, methods to, it's about what you were designed and created to be on this earth. And no two people should look the same, but unfortunately there's a lot of cloning, there's a lot of, we're going to do this because this is just how life is supposed to be. And I think breaking that that mold and stepping out to create your own script and really rediscovering who you are in your heart takes time, effort, focus, and, yeah.
So it's really about asking those important questions.
Absolutely. Absolutely. A lot of soul searching, a lot of who am I? And who is God? For those, you know, that whatever faith you may have, you have to have faith and faith in God, hopefully. But who is God and who am I? I think are the two most important questions to ask.
Jed, you've gone through, I did a little bit of redefinition. I'll give that one to you, Maria.
Yeah, you know, I would agree with Don in respect to I think that the whole concept of looking inward and analyzing what our purpose is, what we're here for, what this is all about, what this life is about. And so in rewriting me, it's been about the last 2.5 years of restructuring. And for someone in coming up on the senior citizen almost, it's quite an exhilarating event in my life. And I think that when I look at and related to what Don said about that treadmill, that climbing on that treadmill and going in the same direction as, let's say, I like to believe now it's less than 99.9% of the population. I believe that there's some shifting going on globally, and there's a lot of people who are asking the question, is this really, what is this all there is? Uh-huh. And so redefining myself, rewriting my path has been an exciting journey, and it's definitely not a conclusion by any means. I think that for me, I'm looking now and realizing that it's actually an entire life journey, that you don't stop writing it. And at one point in time, I thought that, you do arrive sometimes, but, interestingly enough.
Jed, I want you to kind of share with our audience a little bit, because we were sharing in the car today, and I want you to share with the audience kind of your history and what you were sharing today about your journey.
Some of that will require a dissertation, which I can try to do.
You do it in hard words a lot.
It's funny because you get on a path that comes from an environmental influence. Your family, you go to church, you're focused on a belief structure, and then when you really wake up someday and you realize that belief structure really isn't real, and it's not the path that makes you who you are, and then you begin seeking. And I think ultimately for me, as a SOMer, as a science of minor, and someone who...
What is science in mind?
Science of mind? It's a non-denominational belief system. Ernest Holmes is the creator of the Centers for Spiritual Living. That's their new name currently today. But for me, that was a path for me to realize that there's far more in terms of God and what that means, in that when I look around and I look at all the influence in life, plants, animals, humans, the sky, the sun, the moon, everything that goes on and on this planet, it made me more aware that there was something bigger than myself, but that I was connected to it. So, that's been an interesting path, and I'm still in the process of learning. I'm learning a lot about the mechanisms. After spending 30 years in medicine, it really has broken that egg wide open, because it's not as firm, clear-cut. From where I come from, that was, an allopathic medicine. There's only one way to do it. Well, I'm finding that's not necessarily the case. So in that process, I wasn't 100 words or less, but I tried.
That was about 300 or 400 or 500 words. 572.
He was counting.
Anyway, it's all good, brother. It's all good.
Well, I found that myself. It's about the journey. In fact, I was having a great conversation with a friend of mine, because I'm getting involved with so many different things right now, whether it's working on a documentary film that I am, working on developing my own TV show. I'm working on a large motion picture that's going to start later in the year. There's so many things going on, but it was me putting myself out there. Do those things. A lot of times we sit and we wait for things to happen. Dan kind of talked about this, kind of the vibe of, I just do my thing and it'll happen. Whereas Dan is out there working 20 hours a week to make it happen. You got to go out there, put yourself out there and make it happen.
20 hours a week?
20 hours a day. Sorry.
Sorry, Dick.
See, I'm in trouble now. The Marine's going to hurt me now.
He's going to call his uncle.
I know. I better.
Is Guido available?
But 20 hours, I mean, you got to go out there and you have to do it. You can't just sit there and just wait for things to happen. In order to reinvent yourself, in order to change the circumstances that you're wanting to go through, it's not just about thinking about it, but you have to do it. You have to go out there and take action and bust your butt to make it happen.
And you've got to give back to your community.
I love that.
Very powerful.
As I do with the Marines, I also do with the, we have three schools around here, and they know to come to me whatever the hell they need. And that's it.
I love
that. You have to do it. And if you don't, you know, if there's a God, God forgive you. That's all I got to say. Or whatever religion. Because I see these other people, they take, and they're miserable. Or as my uncle used to say, they're miserables. They're miserable people. So what are you going to do? You're going to die one day, and you've got a safe over there with $250,000 in it. Why? What do you think you're going to do with it? You're going to get a better place in heaven? You think they're going to give you a tennis court? They're going to go, there's a swimming pool over there? No, that ain't going to happen. They try and steal every nickel they can. And they don't only steal from the government. Should I say this?
What's your point?
But, you know, they steal from everybody. They take a little bit of life from all of us. That's my personal opinion. And as far as the destination, never been a problem. I've got over 300,000 miles on a Harley, and I just love it. I don't care where I'm going. I get down on Coast Highway, I could care less if I go left or right. Woofa.
So for everyone who couldn't,
and that's a woman that doesn't wear underwear.
I mean, they definitely didn't see the visual. Her feet up on the table with her.
I think a freaking tear come out of my eye.
Could you and I talk? It's like a thought.
Breathe, Dan. Breathe.
Oh, you mud on them, yeah. I got a little. My social security check might be in the mail.
I want to follow up on what you said. I am really, really excited to hear you say that about giving. Because I was a taker for many, many years of my life. Even though I was in a helping profession for many, many years, I focused primarily on myself. And it wasn't until I really woke up and understood what my purpose is, it became very clear that the only way to be truly at peace with yourself is to be connected. And in order to be connected, you must give. You cannot continue to take. And, you know, I got to say, I don't want to put this out there, this kind of energy out there that this is why we are where we are, but I really, truly believe that that's why this world is where it's at right now. And everyone is upside down, left and right, and you see that sense of grabbing at whatever's left or what they think is left. When in all actuality, it's always been here. They just didn't see it that way. And the more that we give, the more that we care about each other, the more that we connect with each other, the greater the reward in this life. What a better way to live your life.
And
so thanks for saying that.
And with that, we're going to take our first and only commercial break of the night. We're halfway through the show already. I can't believe it.
45 minutes
into the show. Well, it's 7:34, halfway in. We dialed in a little bit.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
So, yeah, Harry, if you wouldn't mind, take us to our first commercial break, and we'll come back in about a minute to talk more about reinvention.
Redefining.
Rewriting.
We'll be back in 60 seconds.
Well, thank you very much, Michael. And we have a caller in the queue as well to bring on air when we come back. Ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to Anything But Ordinary Radio on Blog Talk Radio, and we're going to be back after this brief commercial.
You never know what's going to happen on a marvelous Monday.
Am I on?
You're jumping the gun. You're going to give away the climax by asking the question.
Yeah, Phil, stop it. What'd you do?
Danny wants to know the details.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, go ahead.
Yeah.
Go ahead. All right. I promise.
Am I on? Maybe little guys get together in a small room and they start farting. You know, it's not just one individual fart from each person. It blends together and creates this whole new aroma that's completely different.
I don't know if I would use the word aroma.
That's a good one.
Yeah, baby.
Turn your marvelous on every Monday night, 11 p.m. Eastern Time on Vivid Life Radio. Go to marvelousmondays.info.
Just smile and wave, boys. Smile and wave.
Am I on?
Ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to Anything But Ordinary Radio here on Blog Talk Radio. Remember the call-in number, 347-857-3760. If you'd like to call in, ask a question, or make a comment. And speaking of calling in, I'm actually going to do something a little different. I'm going to bring the caller on air. This is Brenda, right?
Yes, it is. How are you?
I'm wonderful, Brenda. You know, I brought you on air before I brought them back on air because, well, quite frankly, I had the power to do that. So I understand that you want to ask. I understand you want to ask Michael about his guns, right? So is that what you guys
want to
talk about?
Yeah, we want to know if Callie's loving them. Absolutely.
All right, so let's bring them all back on air. Hey, Michael,
great.
Brenda wants to know about your.
Which guns are we talking about?
Your big guns, Michael. The chat room is inquiring. Inquiring minds want to know.
I want to know too. I'm wondering about Brenda, are you talking about my workout regimen? Is that what we're talking about?
Well, we saw a photo of you with some big guns there yesterday, so we're just wondering if California's loving them.
Big guns yesterday, which ones were those?
With the photo of you.
I think we're talking about the photo.
Which one?
The photo on Facebook.
Oh, the one that. Okay.
All right. Beyond that, Maria's having fun expressions on her face. Brenda, I did want to ask you about. Tell us a little bit about your event that's going on in Hamilton, Ontario, because it was great. We had Dan has left us for now. He has a restaurant to run. But talking about the U.S. Marines, but you're doing a really amazing thing for the troops there in Canada and all that they're doing. So maybe could you share a little bit about what's going on this upcoming weekend?
Absolutely. Thank you. Thank you very much for that, Michael. We are having an event on April the 16th, and it's entitled Walk a Mile in Our Boots, Healing Together with Our Troops. And what it is it's a night for all of our veterans and our soldiers who are returning home from Afghanistan, who have been to the Korean War, World War II. We're bringing everybody together, and the first step of healing is always to have a good support group behind you and let you know that you care. So that's in essence what's happening that night. We have some great motivational speakers. Laura will be there to speak with us, which is going to be fantastic. High vibrational healer Nadine Mercy. And we're going to get together and we're going to help with the healing process.
You know, just you know, I'm excited because you mentioned Nadine.
That woman rocks my. I've had the opportunity to work with Nadine on a couple things, and I'll tell you, she's really a gifted spirit. I love her to death.
She's amazing.
Yeah,
she is. Brenda, you know, it's really interesting to me. What you know, we're talking about redefinition and reinventing ourselves. What got you so involved with the Canadian troops? And it's one thing that I want to share, too, with all of our U.S. listeners. You know, there's so many things going on around the world, whether it's Iraq or Afghanistan or what's going on now in Libya and other places where Canadian troops are serving right alongside our U.S. troops and often don't get the credit, I think, especially in the U.S., they deserve for all that you do for the contributions of your country to all these international efforts. So what got you so involved, though, in doing this? Because you didn't have to get involved.
I didn't have to get involved. You're right. Ever since I was about 8 years old, I've often wondered, why do we only celebrate Remembrance Day once a year? Why do we only remember our veterans once a year? Why do we only think about our soldiers once a year, when realistically we should be thinking about them all the time? And that's really what my driving force behind this is. Since Remembrance Day and meeting John Patterson, who wrote a beautiful song called Hero, which is a tribute to our soldiers and their families, that's pretty much what brought it all together. I got tired of it, and I really wanted them to know, you know, we care. They need to know that we care. They need to know that there's support there for them. And when they come home, you know, sometimes they don't come home and they're not the same person that they left as being. So it's important that they know that we're all here for them and we're thinking about them.
So, Brenda, how can people find out more about your event and get involved with what you're doing?
They can go to my website, which is www.bringingithome.myforces.ca, or we have an event page on Facebook, Walk a Mile in Our Boots, Healing Together with Our Troops.
Awesome. Brenda, thank you so much for coming on tonight. I'm so glad you did join us.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. It's great talking to you guys, and I love the show.
Thank you. Brenda's awesome because she joins us all the time in the chat room. She's there every week. We love what you're doing. Anything that we can do to help you, Brenda, please continue to let us know.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Take care, guys.
See you later.
All right.
See you later. Bye.
Bye, Brenda. Yes.
How's the chat room going? Any other questions or comments that you'd like to share?
Yeah, well, actually, Michael McFadden said to tell you hello because he thought you were I or I was you, or you know how that works. So he said, hey, tell Michael I said hello. The Mojo Vader's in there. Danielle's in there. And she did ask a question. There's a lot of discussion about the guns. That went on for quite a while as to, you know, your big guns.
There's still a question here going on here.
I'm just wondering.
No, I don't think so, Jed. I think it's another night.
Okay, cool.
Go ahead, Harry. Sorry.
But that's okay. No, but Danielle did ask a question. Is it reinvention or evolution? That was her question for you.
It's
rewriting.
I don't know.
It's redefining normal. Actually, evolution is we evolve into something more than what we are, and we become more and more, to me, because I'm a follower of Christ, we become more and more Christ-like. So it is, you evolve into that, the better person over and over and over again. One of the reasons why I could not stay married to my wonderful second ex-husband is because he didn't want to grow. He didn't want to evolve. He was happy the way that he was. And I think when you get to that place where you're happy where you are and you don't evolve, then forget it. So evolving is a good word. Redefining normal, reinventing, whatever.
Yeah, isn't it funny that you say that? Because what happened for me is very similar to that, Maria, in that it's almost like an alienation.
Oh yeah.
Where what it seemed like I was alienating my family.
Mm-hmm.
And it was exactly what you said, Maria, was that they were not interested in growing down that path. And so I hopped off the treadmill midstream and still on the path.
And I'd like to say something though too, necessarily is, is growth is different for everybody.
That's right.
And our paths are different.
That's right.
A lot of people's paths go in different directions. And so just by saying, it doesn't necessarily mean someone's growing more or better or whatever than the other person. It's just your path is diverse.
I agree with that wholeheartedly. It's not a bad thing. It's not a negative thing. It's not good or bad.
It just is
a fact that journey took a different path. And you're right. I'm glad you clarified that because that's really true.
Well, and all we mean is we take different paths. I think, when it comes to relationships, the strongest relationships are the ones where you're both on the same page. You're both on the same page. You may not be growing identically, same place, but you're on the same page and communicating and knowing where you're both going, and you want to both go in that direction.
Mm-hmm.
You want to go that, both want to go that same direction, that same destination, that same journey. You want to take that journey and that trip you get.
Mm-hmm.
To me, I mean, that's the ultimate relationship, is it's finding that other person where you are taking that journey together and supporting each other and just being there for each other. And it's not a negative to any other kind of circumstance.
Yeah, definitely.
But what I'm just saying is that it's that wanting to be there down the road together on that journey, on that path of some type of massive change in your life. And the reason I say reinvention is because we have the opportunity at times in our lives to make giant quantum leaps in who we are. I mean, we're growing every day. But when we make specific changes in our lives, whether it's a relationship changing our career, or something major happens in our personal life, we have an opportunity to make a quantum leap, a real big shift in who we are, how we think, what we do, how we go about it. And that is the real key. How do you do that? How do you make that change? How do you go through those changes in your life and make them in the best way possible? It's one of the keys to life. And darn, that's kind of...
I think how you go about it is you have to be honest with yourself and ask those questions, but being honest with yourself and say, what is it that has me stuck? You know, it requires a lot of digging down deep into the roots of who you are, and a lot of times, you know, it's what we see as ugly, and it's painful. And, you know, just facing, you know, it could be an attitude, it could be,
fear.
Fear is number one. Fear is absolutely number one, enemy number one for everything, and it's so related to fear and pride, and ego are just huge enemies to your growth. And just being willing to lay that down and say, it's not everybody around me, it's not this one, it's not that one, it's me. I put a status up today that said, if you want your outer world around you now as a result of your inner world, if you want your outer world to change your inner world. And a lot of times it's looking at yourself in the mirror and saying, you got to deal with you. And we were born in love, we were made from love, and, you know, God is love. And so we go through these moments of self-reflection and looking in the mirror from a place of love rather than negativity or criticism. It's because we're loved. It's because we were meant to be more. We were born to be more. We were meant to become something better and contribute. And I think commerce, feel free to stop me anytime.
No, you're doing great, Don. That's why I was letting you roll.
Commerce, I think, was meant to be, you know, commerce, contributing with what Dan was saying earlier about giving back to community, was that we were meant to give so we could receive, so we could keep giving. And, you know, about being takers, it's like survival mode. It's just living in the mode of surviving and just, you know, taking care of me, number one, because that's really the masses, society, colleges, schools, education, that's really what we're conditioned to believe that that's how we're supposed to grow. And there's no spiritual aspect. There's no emotional aspect. There's no getting in touch with your inner self. So we've had to, you know, become, even the church doesn't teach you that. We've had to come out of mainstream ideals and beliefs and systems and just go within our heart and ourself and connect with our own soul and our own heart and to discover this.
You know what I think is interesting about that conversation about self is that everything that goes around us, you know, you can look at all four of us sitting here around this table, and Maria has a certain view of what reality is just by her experience. You're sitting here. Don, you have a particular view of what your reality, what this existence is. Jed, you do. So do I. We all live in our own world of what reality is. It's all going on in our heads. I mean, we're all here together sharing, but we all view it through our a prism. And so when we're connected to other people, when we're connected to other individuals, sometimes there's arguments or people frustrate us, or we wonder, why isn't somebody doing what we want them to do? And you have to go, oh, That's the exact issue, isn't it? Mm-hmm. I'm asking someone else to live by my rules. Mm-hmm. Why aren't they functioning by my rules?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that interesting how we do that all the time? We want the other person to function by our personal rules. And we think it's them, but it's not. It's really about us and our reflection on what it is that we are expecting from someone else to give back to us.
I think this is why I choose to call it redefining normal. Because we always go back to that which is normal. And when you are on a path and you are trying to make those choices to evolve, to redefine, to whatever you want to call it, you have to stop and redefine your normal, okay? Because you always go back to that which is normal. And if you came from a place that wasn't so hot, you have to make those choices because we are the choices that we make. So you have to stop and go, I can't do that normal thing anymore because my normal, your normal, his normal, her normal are all different. Mm-hmm. So we have to stop and redefine our definition of normal.
And then we need to communicate.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So that we each understand one another.
Yeah.
Right.
But this is where I think a lot of, when I'm coaching different people, when you're getting ready to make that change, as the person who's evolving, as that person who's redefining normal, you're in a relationship with other people. Now your rules are different, okay? So you also have to take that time to put your rules down and go, here, honey, here are my new rules, okay? And now we're going to play by these rules. You show me your rules, and now we'll play by those. And I think that's also what's missing, especially with people and the divorce rate that's going on, is that you're not stopping communicating and go, oh, dude, I ain't doing it that way anymore. These are my new rules. Either you like them or you don't. And if you don't, great. We got to redefine what our normal is, okay, because it ain't normal anymore.
Negotiate. You've got the rules, I've got rules, and we got to negotiate for something that works for both.
Developing mutual understanding. Yeah.
Yeah. Isn't it so funny how we do this so often? One of my really good friends, Wendy Blum, likes to talk about this. And I like to talk about this in the realm of relationships for almost anything else that you have. We can have relationships with people, and how often do we? And this is an error or mistake I've learned in the past. This is not me saying I'm the expert and the brilliant person here because I've done this well myself. No, I haven't done this very well myself. But one of the things that I've learned that I think going forward is the best way to do it is sitting down and actually having that communication and developing a vision and a goal for where you are going as a couple, as a family, as a business, whatever it is, you know where you're going. So many times we spend so much more time planning the next cocktail party or the next event that we're going to do. And with the people who are the closest to us, we don't spend the time to develop that vision of where we're going together. Isn't it funny how the most important things in the world, the most important people in the world, we don't take the time out oftentimes to do that work.
You know, we were talking about that earlier this morning when at breakfast, about, you know, the need to be present.
Mm-hmm.
And where I find myself now is moving towards more what you're talking about to those that are close, and even those that are still not really close, but yet the more energy I put about being present in any given situation, the closer I am connected to those people or individuals, animals, humans, whatever it may be. So the more that I'm aware of my being, and being in the moment, paying attention to the conversation, being present,
listening,
really, truly, then it does help that communication. But it also just fulfills me as being a part of that conversation.
And so often we're stuck in. We may be listening to the other person, but we're having that conversation in our head, and we're not really listening. Am I really listening to this person? What they're telling me to do?
I'm less. Thinking about what I'm going to say, and truly today, spending more time being engaged and present to what's being said.
You know,
it's the beat of my heart. Communication is the beat of my heart. Really listening and not developing that
listen to what this person's saying. Listen to their heart. What are they expressing? What feeling are they telling? What that connection is. I'm passionate about this.
I agree. Well, and it's sometimes we have to redefine that for each other because different people will function a different way. And so just because we share something, you know, we're sharing, you might not understand the rules of the game of what the other person is sharing. You know, maybe if it's, again, we keep talking about communication. Harry, we're almost out of time. We're running towards the end of the show. Anything else going on in the chat room or anything else that you'd like to chime in and share before we, close up the hour pretty shortly?
Well, yeah, actually, there's been several people in there talking about how, you know, what you guys have been saying is so true. You know, everything. They've been really enjoying the comments. You know, there's a comment in here, something Dawn has taught me, listening to your heart, you know, is one thing. We've been talking, one person would mention about they found it difficult to receive. They're a big giver, but found difficult to receive. And one of the things that I put in there was the fact that without receivers, there can be no givers. And we really need to find that balance between giving and receiving, because receiving is a gift. Whether it's a compliment, whether it's a, you know, an actual gift of some sort, whether it's whatever it is, anytime that if we deny that gift, we're literally doing that. And you really want to put yourself in another person's shoes. You know, how do you think it makes them feel if they give you a gift that way and you deny it by saying something like, "Oh, I look terrible," or "I didn't do very good on that presentation. I don't know what you're talking about," or whatever it might be. You really got to learn how to be both, okay, because both are just as important. And like I said, without receivers, there can be no givers. So learn to do both.
Well said, brother.
Well said.
I think as a woman and as a mother, I think we have a harder time receiving, because I remember, you know, being a parent and people would want to do things, but I would always want to do things for my child. So I think it's really difficult when you get to that place where you can receive, but it's weird, because I know that I have a hard time receiving, and just because I'm always looking at the person, what do you want? But that's my guns up, and that's something that I've had to redefine. So I think receiving is a really difficult thing sometimes.
Dude, that's the guns that Brenda was talking about earlier.
That was the guns she was talking about.
Okay. Yep. Well, I want to thank all of our listeners for joining us tonight. Next week is going to be an amazing show as well. We're going to talk about the spirit of Detroit next week. We're going to be talking the spirit of Detroit next week with two great guests, Brad Ozatowski, who is a good friend of mine. He's a filmmaker. He's created a great film about the city of Detroit. He's going to talk about some of his experiences. And we're also going to have Eddie Connor, who's been on the show with us before, but only briefly. And Eddie is, like, one
very
of the most...
excited. Yeah.
Smile and Wave, Eddie?
No, Eddie Connor.
Oh.
Eddie Connor, one of the most
amazing
speakers, new up-and-coming speakers out there, really great guy, will definitely motivate and inspire our listeners. And, again, that's next week, Tuesday night, 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. Eastern. I like to say Pacific when I'm here at the Pacific side first.
Yay!
7 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. Eastern here on Blog Talk Radio, www.blogtalkradio.com/anythingbutordinary. You can check us out. And
that's the right coast, you know, right?
The right is right. We are.
Yee-haw!
I'm not going there. But we had such a great time. It's so great. Let me tell you, we're going to close this out by talking real quick, briefly about meeting and getting to know and spending some time live with people that you've met, whether it's on Facebook or you've been on the phone with for 2 years. Like, Jen, I've known for a couple of years, and we worked together for a while, never had met, and we've talked a couple times a week. You know, Maria, we've been doing this show for
a year and
2 months. She's got it written down to the science how long. We've been doing this for a year and 2 months, and we talk really often, too. She helps me get often through my crap. She's really good at it.
Special moments.
Yeah,
special
it's
moments.
Amazing to make those connections. So I encourage you, take the time to make those connections. And Dawn here. Dawn, opening her house to me, stay, and connect with all of us here tonight. I can't thank her enough. I can't thank all of you enough for the time that you spend, for everything that you do to make this an amazing show, to spend your week, an hour every week with us. I appreciate our audience. We love you all here live from the Arches in Newport Beach, California. We love you all. Thank you so much for tuning in. We will see you all next week on Anything But Ordinary Radio. Go out there and be extraordinary.
For the ride of your life, I want to present to some and introduce to others your host for Anything But Ordinary Radio, Mr. Michael McCleary.